All right, welcome back to Third String Podcast. I'm Zach, joined, as always, by my co-host, Pete LaClete. Pete, how are you doing?
I'm great. You know, it's Monday. We only talked 2 days ago, but like happens in the baseball season, a lot since we last talked. So I'm doing well. How's your week starting off, my friend?
It's doing great. You know, I was thinking about you earlier today.
I like where this is going.
Oh yeah, definitely. I was on my phone and saw a Business Insider article, and I forget the exact headline, but it was something like Kirk Cousins explains why he was mad when the Redskins drafted him.
Oh, you were thinking about me because it was something bad about a Washington team.
That's really most of the reason that I ever think of you, Pete. I hate to break it to you. But so I clicked this article thinking, oh, this is going to be something incendiary, and this is going to explain why Kirk Cousins had the sort of under the radar attitude problems that he had the whole time he was in DC. And I clicked it, and really all it was Kirk Cousins saying he was disappointed when he was drafted by Washington because he wanted to go somewhere and be the franchise QB, and Washington at that time already had RG3 locked in as their starter. That was all it was. So. You know, you don't even need to react to this, Pete. I just wanted to tell you that I saw it and it happened and it's out there. So when you see the headline, don't be fooled.
So, well, I appreciate it because, you know, I like to get emotional about Washington sports. So I appreciate you letting me save my emotion for something.
Yeah, all you
like
Washington sports fans, I know a few Wizards fans too, and they just get so emotional, so overly invested.
I mean, aside from the Capitals, we really haven't had much to get happy about. And you know how the vicious circle of sports anger works, where it's just, it's so much easier to get mad and get angry and just rage as long as you can. So what better place to do it than in our nation's capital, where literally all we pay people to do is argue, it seems. So
that's
why
so
not
true.
Let it bleed over into the sports franchise?
Yes. Yeah. Did you ever go to a DC United game when you lived there?
A long time ago, I did, back at RFK. Yeah, I did.
Was that by chance in the Freddie Adu era?
It was.
Oh,
it
nice.
Was. That was
nice.
That was an interesting time. I wish I had appreciated it more, as we talked about a couple days ago. I'm not a big soccer fan. I can sometimes recognize an offsides. I know what a goal is. I know what a handball is, but that's about it.
Well, I mean, I would have never guessed, given your penetrating World Cup analysis in the last episode.
It was pretty on point. Let's go Belgium. Pretty
hey,
on point.
I called Croatia upsetting the host, Russia. I'm just going to throw that out
boy,
there.
Boy, did you. Man, how good was the dramatics at the end of that game? It was fun. They went to penalty, but in the 88th minute, the Croatian goalie is rolling on the ground, like he pulled his hamstring, while the other players managed to just have a nice little team meeting out there in the 88th minute when the Russians were trying to score. So
this is the
little
this is the thing about soccer. I saw this meme on Facebook yesterday that my brother-in-law posted, and it was a picture of a foosball table, but all of the players were removed from the, what do you call the poles in a foosball table? I don't know. The poles, right? Poles. The players were all removed from their poles, and they were just laying on the field, and they were like, my World Cup edition foosball table arrived. Because that's what soccer is now. It's just, it's just ridiculous. I assume you saw Neymar, like all the gifs about Neymar just rolling on the ground 5 times after he got his leg grazed by an opponent.
I did. There's that one great meme where it always says, like, during childbirth, a woman will experience, and it talks about all the pain and makes fun of it. And normally it's something about, like, men getting sick and all these kind of things. But that one was, a woman will come close to experiencing the pain that a soccer player feels when he gets tapped in the shin. You're like, oh, that's great.
It's so true. It's so true.
It's,
oh, my goodness.
It's
one. It's one main impediment.
Every soccer fan.
What's that?
I said, now that we've alienated every soccer fan, let's keep it
yeah,
going.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I'd love to hear from our soccer listeners about why I should be a fan, but I will say that all of the theatrics and the flops, I mean, the soccer flops put NBA flops to shame, and they are a major impediment to my interest in the game, because objectively, I can see myself getting interested in soccer, but when I get past the surface level and I watch a match and I see all these yellow cards and red cards flying, awarding the theatrics, I just lose interest very quickly. But anyway, on to other things. We should go back to the DC sports topic, Pete, because today we're going to talk briefly about the big DC sports event coming up next week, the MLB All-Star Game.
Yeah, we've been talking about this in DC really since they opened Nationals Ballpark in, what was that, 2007 or 2008, that
yeah,
first
I think
year.
So.
I mean, it was very well known as the majors were making this transition to the open ballparks, started by, in my opinion, still the best one in Camden Yards. That was a big focus, as we need to bring the All-Star Game to DC. So I'm so glad it's coming. I wish that the team was more competitive right now, so they had more All-Stars to represent in the home stadium. But this will be really good for the DC area, and hopefully showcase it in a positive light, because we don't get a lot of positive PR, it seems, with DC sports teams. But yeah, I'm excited. I'm really upset I can't.
Hey, you can't say that right now, because you're fresh off of a Stanley Cup.
So you get
to ride that high for at least 6 months, because you have a national championship team in one of your sports.
I get 6 months for this? Boy, I wish I had known that. I would have been flaunting my It's Our Year shirt around Las Vegas a little more. I'm still afraid that it's going to lead to me getting stabbed in East Las Vegas at some point. So I'm not that bold, but it's going to happen here soon. Josh, if you're listening, man, your t-shirt is just waiting to come out outside my house. It gets worn around the house like every 3 days, but it's waiting to make its grand appearance.
Yeah, I told you have 6 months, because I have this theory that the amount of time you can gloat about a major sports championship is dependent on what sport we're talking about. So my theory goes something like this. If you win a Super Bowl, NFL is it's just a little bit more, it's a little bit longer lasting. The feeling is a little bit more permanent. So I think you can gloat about a Super Bowl for at least 3 years. In baseball, it's a little bit less permanent, but still better than basketball and hockey. So you can gloat about a World Series title for 2 years. So, you know, the Cubs, for example, this is the last year that they can gloat about their 2016 win. After this, they're done. They have to go win another one. In basketball, we know how fleeting those titles are. I mean, look at Golden State in 2015, and then the Cavs in 2016, and then Golden State again in 2017. So NBA is just a year. You can only gloat for a year. And then hockey just has a smaller fan base. You can only gloat for 6 months, and then the season started again, and it's open season. You know, expansion teams can go to the Stanley Cup in hockey, so it's anybody's game. So 6 months for hockey.
So I have to put up with you gloating about the Eagles, who couldn't even bring their starting quarterback into the Super Bowl for 3 years?
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
Yes, correct.
3 years.
You'll notice that I've conveniently devised this system, in the last 3 minutes to set myself up for gloating in the next 3 years. Yes, that's correct.
You didn't come up with this during the Chip Kelly era, as I remember.
That's true. Yeah, guilty as charged. But hey, I have 3 years to come up with these systems, because the Eagles won a Super Bowl, so.
Two and a half years at this point, right? Two and a half.
Well, a little bit less. A little bit more than two and a half. We're not quite at the 2.5 mark yet.
Counting down the seconds.
Yeah, not me, not me. Okay, should we talk baseball for real now?
Let's do it, man.
Okay, so MLB All-Star rosters came out in the selection show last night. I know you didn't get a chance to watch. I didn't get a chance to watch. You know, we both have young kids and we're doing dad things at that time of day. So not having watched that, but having seen the rosters, let's just talk through some of our sort of initial reactions. Who shouldn't have gotten a spot and did? Who should have gotten a spot and didn't? Things like that. Maybe let's start with the AL. We'll go offensive players first, and then pitchers, and then we'll switch the, or no, let's do AL batters, and then let's do NL batters, and then let's do AL pitchers, NL pitchers. Sound good?
Sure. So first reaction, looking at this AL roster, obviously these teams are stacked. I mean, they're all-stars every year, but my goodness, looking at this AL batting order, if you're AJ Hinch, who of course is the manager of the Houston Astros, if you take your team to the World Series, you manage the all-star game the next year. How do you set this lineup? This lineup is incredible coming out of the American League this year. I mean, you're just looking at the power, looking at the diversity of hitters. I mean, just the way that they play the game, whether it's Mike Trout up to Aaron Judge. I mean, you've got it all. I was really put back late last night when I finally got a chance to sit down and look at the All-Star roster and just how impressive the American League is right now. Obviously, they're very stacked between the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Indians, the Astros. But overall, I was just really, really impressed. Trying to think who kind of stood out to me as being left out in terms of AL hitters. Probably Jed Lowry was my biggest surprise coming out of Oakland. I think he's been kind of sneaky good this year. I mean, I would be surprised if there isn't an injury or two on the AL side that doesn't bring him onto the roster. So anyone who's listening to this, maybe on Tuesday or Wednesday before the final injuries shake out, I wouldn't be surprised if the Jed Lowry decision changes. But I mean, he's hitting almost 300. His OBP is 357. I mean, you just look at what he's done this year. He's been in the league for a long time. He's not been the healthiest guy. Normally he seems to only be playing about half a season, but this year he's been in almost every game, already playing 88 games. And he just has been a great bedrock on that team. And so I was a little disappointed to see that, because I think Oakland kind of needs a win. So that was probably my biggest surprise in terms of AL hitters. How about you?
Yeah, so I think that, I guess a couple things. The Jed Lowry thing, sure, fine. I mean, I don't look at the starting lineup and see anybody that I think is less deserving of a spot than Jed Lowry. Maybe some guys on the bench, sure. But the big one I wanted to talk about was Matt Chapman, also of the Athletics.
Sure.
And Matt Chapman, I understand, so he plays third base, if our listeners aren't familiar with him. But this, you should be familiar with him, because he is super fun to watch, and he is, no kidding, the best defensive third baseman in baseball. And he just makes these ridiculous plays, backhanded grabs and bullets across the diamond, look relatively routine in a way that not even Nolan Arenado can. And I mean, I'm a huge fan of the defensive play of Manny Machado and Nolan Arenado, but Matt Chapman, in my opinion, exceeds them both. And the stats back them up. He has like 22 defensive runs saved this year. His defensive rating is tops among third basemen. I think tops among the entire league, actually. Or maybe right behind Francisco Lindor. And he's incredible. And his batting stats are a little bit lower than Alex Bregman, who ended up making it on the reserves list for third base. But in my opinion, the defensive prowess gives Matt Chapman the edge there, and I think it should have been Chapman. You know, I don't think you need Bregman on an all-star team that already has a bunch of Astros on it. I think that you can slide in Matt Chapman there and reward the defense, because let's face it, people don't just want to see great hitters mash the ball. They also want to see great defenders try to outplay those great hitters, right? So I would say Matt Chapman's the guy I want to see. The other thing I'll say on this is that, you know, Pete, you were talking about how stacked this lineup is, and I totally agree. I'm looking at the, you know, all these guys here, these leaders in WAR in the American League: Mike Trout, Jose Ramirez, Mookie Betts, Francisco Lindor, Aaron Judge, Jose Altuve, J.D. Martinez, Manny Machado. I mean, going up against a lineup that has names like that in it, really scary for any opposing pitcher. But on the other hand, there are some guys who I think made the team that really shouldn't have. And in part, this is because of the imbalance of teams in the American League. We talked about this with Ishan the other night on our last episode, but just how we have a lot of top-heavy teams there, like the Yankees, like the Red Sox, Indians, Astros. And then we have a bunch of teams at the very bottom pulling up the tail, like the Royals, who are just terrible and are actively tanking and not trying to win and trying to secure draft packs and draft picks and offloading assets. And it's no surprise that from a team like that emerges a player like Salvador Perez, who perennially has been a good player. This year is not a good player. He's hitting .213 with a .255 on-base percentage and a .376 slugging percentage. Those, Pete, are not all-star numbers. But there's this rule that every team in the league has to have at least one all-star representative. And so what's Salvador Perez doing? He's going to Washington to play in the all-star game. So to me, that's a flaw in the selection system. And Salvador Perez, as good of a player he has been in the past, is not this year. And he should not be a 2018 all-star.
So you don't think that they should bring a player from every team to the All-Star game? You think it should be completely merit-based?
Well, I think completely merit-based is a little bit of an impossibility, because, you know, what's the system of merit that we use to decide this? But I do not think that the commissioner's office, which is how it is now, I do not think the commissioner's office should have a requirement that every team needs at least one representative. Right. I mean, if you have three Astros that are deserving and no Royals, then you have three Astros and no Royals that are deserving. And realistically, that's probably going to be the case, because the Astros are really good and the Royals are really bad.
Yeah. So I think this is the bigger problem that Major League Baseball has with the All-Star game, since we got rid of it, determining home field advantage. And I have to be honest, obviously I'm very partial, but I still think the Major League Baseball All-Star Game is the best of the four major sports every year. I mean, no one cares about the Pro Bowl.
No.
The NBA All-Star Game doesn't play defense and scores 180 points. And the NHL All-Star Game, I think more people watch the skills competition than anything else at the NHL All-Star Game.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And again, the smaller fan base. The Major League All-Star Game is still the best, but they can't decide if this is an exhibition or a competition. If it is truly a competition between the American League and National League, it should be completely merit-based. I think the fan vote should not determine starters. I think fan vote should determine players, one by position. Then overall, the players and managers also get a vote, and then it is up to those individual managers to decide who starts, who comes off the bench. Because honestly, if I'm the Houston Astros, if I'm the New York Yankees, if I am any of these teams who have a real shot at the playoffs right now, I don't love that some of my true all-stars and my true go-getter guys are probably coming out in the third or the fourth inning.
Sure.
But overall, I totally agree with you that Major League Baseball needs to decide, is this an exhibition where every team gets a player? The fans have all this say, life is grand, we're going to chuckle on the base pass, or is this an actual competition? I mean, you and I weren't alive to see it, but Nolan Ryan refused to talk to players at the All-Star game because of that competition. Obviously, he's an extreme, but Lou Brock was doing the same thing in St. Louis. I mean, the All-Star game has evolved so much since we got rid of it factoring into home field advantage, and I think it's so interesting. I still like that every team has a representative there, because now it truly feels like an exhibition and not a competition. But overall, it is still just way too skewed. And maybe I'm just coming off years and years of the Nationals being terrible and me being so happy to see Ryan Zimmerman as my lone National for like four straight years at the All-Star game. But it's tough. Major League Baseball has to figure this out here very, very soon.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, my complaint about Salvador Perez, I think what I didn't talk about is how it also highlights a huge disparity in just the lack of catcher talent in the AL. Yeah. There aren't many good catchers in the AL. All of them, or almost all of them, are in the NL. But there are still, I think, a lot of people who could replace Salvi as the backup catcher at the All-Star game. I mean, even someone like Gary Sanchez, who's not having a great year if you look at his batting average, but at least has had more power than Salvi Perez, has 1.2 WAR compared to Salvi Perez's 0.2. And, you know, I looked at the list of all the catchers in the major leagues, both leagues, American and National League. He's 43rd ranked among catchers as far as cumulative WAR this season. I mean, he's really not been a good player. He's been well below average, and there's no reason at all why he should be going to an All-Star game. So,
So he's number 41 out of catchers?
Yes, 43 out of catchers. Yep.
How many teams are there in Major League Baseball? Aren't there 32?
32.
So there's 11 catchers who aren't even starting who have a better WAR. That's not
correct.
Great.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, significantly below average. Yeah. So 213, 255, 376 for his batting lines, for a WRC plus of 69. And remember, average is 100. So
fair enough.
Yeah, not great. Not great.
So let me ask you, as we're looking at these hitters who got snubbed, who didn't, AL final vote is... Who we got? Eddie Rosario, Giancarlo Stanton, Gene Segura, Andrelton Simmons, and Andrew Benintendi.
Yep, Benintendi.
Who do you like out of those five?
Hopefully I'm not taking your vote here, but you've talked before about Segura and the impressive year that he's having, and I think you should reward this guy for it. I think Benintendi has many bright years ahead of him, and he's an impressive player and a fun one to watch, but it's hard for me to argue with Segura's 330, 358, 470. Stat line. I mean, this guy has just been a warrior for the Mariners, is a big reason why they're hanging so close to the Astros there. And, you know, adding someone from a team like the Mariners makes more sense to me for the exhibition reasons you were talking about than adding someone from a powerhouse team.
Yeah, I'm going to be surprised if Giancarlo Stanton doesn't win it. One, because of the New York media, obviously, that he gets so much publicity for better or for worse, and two, he's the flashy guy. I think he's just got more of a fan appeal, unfortunately, playing on the East Coast, and the way he plays baseball is a lot of fun, but this year the strikeouts are too high and the walks are too low for Stanton right now. The other guy, you did take my vote, but the other guy who I'm interested in, I'm gonna have to watch more, is Simmons, out of Los Angeles Angels. The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. As I'm looking him over the past couple days as I was getting ready for the All-Star Game selections, I realized that outside of Mike Trout, I think this guy has probably had the most significant impact to his team day in and day out. And I think on a team that continues to fade as Albert Pujols gets old, as they keep giving up more and more talent, and Mike Trout seems to crush the baseball without any help out there, maybe he could be a bright spot. So I'm going to be happy with a couple different selections, but yeah, I still like Segura out there.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I misspoke earlier when I said that Chapman was second in defense across the entire American League to Lindor. He's actually fourth. Lindor's third. Jose Iglesias is second, and Simmons is first. So he is the best defender.
Oh, okay.
The best defender in the American League. And I think that's a big reason why he deserves a shot as well. So I like that call out. Before we run out of time, let's actually pivot to NL batting, and then we'll do pitchers real quick. So, and by batting, I mean position players. So the roster here includes, let's see, Wilson Contreras, Lorenzo Cain, JT Realmuto, Nolan Arenado, Buster Posey, Ozzy Albies, Trevor Story, Brandon Crawford, Javi Baez, Scooter Gennett, Christian Yelich, Eugenio Suarez, Nick Markakis, Freddie Freeman, Joey Votto, Matt Kemp, which is awesome to see, Paul Goldschmidt, yep, Charlie Blackman, and Bryce Harper. So of this list, who's the main snub?
In terms of snub, I'm not really sure. So I'm looking at the kind of the guys in the final vote who I was surprised didn't make the team initially. Honestly, my biggest heartburn with this entire thing, and it's because I'm hypersensitive to it as a Nationals fan, is I really don't like that the fans vote on the starters.
Yeah.
Bryce Harper should not be a starter on the All-Star team this year. I think there's a little home field advantage where it's good to have the home field guys playing. He's a flashy guy, but his stats are just so abysmal this year. It's almost embarrassing that he's starting. So that really disappoints me. And that's kind of what I was focusing on with the National League roster. I think otherwise, I'm really focusing on Jesus Aguilar out of the Brew Crew, who I think should have been on the roster somewhere. Just kind of based, I feel like he's a guy who doesn't get a lot of love out in Milwaukee. I don't think anyone really knew anything about him before this year either. So I don't really have a lot to say other than, I mean, his stats. I mean, he's already got 22 home runs, so he's obviously hitting for power in a power-hitting ballpark, but his batting average is still sitting over 300. He's hit 306, on-base percentage 368. I mean, his slugging is 633. I mean, he's putting together some great stats, and I don't know if it's just the fact that he came out of Cleveland as Cleveland was surging, so he got lost before he moved over to Milwaukee. But overall, I don't know how this guy didn't make the starting roster. I think that is the one that bothers me. But I'll be very surprised if he is not picked up by the NL roster here within the next 3 or 4 days. How about you?
Yeah, I also can't find too many major problems with the NL roster. I think the voters, players, and fans got this one largely correct. There are a few things you might be able to quibble with. I mean, I think Anthony Rendon could deserve a shot there. I might call out Brandon Nimmo as well. I think he's been a really impressive player for the Mets, and he's kind of flown under the radar, but you know, undeservedly so. I think he could be an excellent addition to the All-Star team, but it's not a major injustice. I mean, he'd have to displace somebody, and I don't necessarily see anybody on this list who should be displaced by, you know, a Brandon Nimmo. You know, you already mentioned Bryce Harper. To me, it's a little bit of I wouldn't even use the word travesty, a little bit of an injustice that someone like Chris Bryant is not on the All-Star team when Bryce Harper is. Because, sure, you know, Chris Bryant is having what we might call maybe a down year compared to his other years, but not markedly so. I mean, he's still, let's see, Bryant right now in the year has 9 home runs. He's hitting 280, 383, 481. You know, he's about average defensively. Whereas Harper, I mean, you already mentioned his abysmal numbers, nowhere close to what Bryant's doing. They obviously play different positions, but I'm just saying, you know, both of these guys are superstar caliber players, both having kind of down years, one more so than the other. And the guy who's having more of the down year is the guy who's playing in the All-Star League. So, you know, things like that are unfortunate, but I don't have a great remedy necessarily. And I don't see this, like I said, as a great travesty. I think Bryce Harper, I'm not going to cry too much about Bryce Harper being on the team because we have all seen his superstar potential. His 2015 season was just historic, I mean, literally. And we know he has that in him. And he's probably going to be the guy who, you know, comes to the plate and hits like the go-ahead 3-run home run in the 9th inning. So, you know, we'll see how it all turns out. But I think that's my thoughts on NL position players.
So do you think that it is – so obviously it goes back really to exhibition versus competition here. Do you think Major League Baseball needs to start putting the emphasis on having the flashy, exciting players? Obviously, Chris Bryant is right up there, so this is not a great comparison for that situation. But you look at the guys like Ohtani this year, who has been hurt for about a month and a half of the season. But when he hasn't been hurt, I mean, he's been pretty impressive at the plate. He's obviously had one or two bad starts, but otherwise he's been pretty good. I mean, if we're looking for flashy, exciting guys who are the future of the game, I'd be interested in talking about putting guys like that in the All-Star game as well. Obviously, he doesn't have the repertoire built up, and he doesn't have the credibility of 3 years in the league, but I think baseball just needs to start finding a way to tweak this and make it a focus in one way or another. The other leagues have figured it out. The other leagues have figured out that it is for entertainment and nothing else. And baseball seems to really still struggle with that concept.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I mean, there is a small financial incentive for the players. I think, is it like $100,000 they get or something like that?
I know there's a financial incentive. I'm not sure how much.
It's probably not even that much. But yeah, that's a good point. I mean, having more young, dynamic talent, I think Ohtani would be a great addition to this. I would love to see him bat in the All-Star game. You know, Gleyber Torres, the Yankees' young prospect, is playing as a reserve in the American League. And he doesn't even have enough plate appearances this season to be qualified for the batting title. So it's not for Shohei Ohtani's youth and inexperience that he's not on the list. I expect that as Ohtani's around the league a little bit more and he gets to know a little bit more of the players and the fans get to know him a little bit better, he'll end up on these lists. So that'd be something to look forward to for future years, but that's a good point.
I think, unfortunately, as much fun as it's been for the fans where interleague play is such a big thing, I think based on interleague play, American League and National League, like you and I have talked about how much those have transitioned, I just don't even think it matters. I think that has taken away from the All-Star game a lot, that these matchups we would otherwise never, ever get, we get now. We get Max Scherzer versus Mike Trout occasionally. We get Justin Verlander versus Bryce Harper occasionally. And it's that's what the All-Star game was designed to do, was pit the two leagues against each other. And I think Major League Baseball, in an effort to reach more fans through 162 games, took away from this one game. And say what you will about Bud Selig making it matter for the World Series, but that put an extra emphasis on it, and it made the managers manage it like a baseball game and not a circus,
yeah,
which is kind of what the All-Star game yeah. came in.
I think
in.
You're right. So we're almost out of time here. We're taking a little bit longer than I thought we would, which is fine, but you want to just do pitching thoughts real quick? We'll just do both leagues quickly, and then we'll close it out.
Biggest thing I have on pitching, I know a lot is still going to shake out here. The only big snub that I am tracking on Snowfar, I'm sorry, not Snowfar, but so far, that might have given away who I'm going to bring up, but that is going to be Blake Snell. I think Blake Snell, I don't really think he's going to stay off the roster. I think he's absolutely going to show up. But coming out of a Tampa Bay team who we've talked about has done a lot of weird things with their rotation and started the season expecting to be awful and have been better than awful, I'd say mediocre so far. But I mean, dude's got a 2.09 ERA. He's got 19 starts already on the year, pitched 116 innings. I mean, his strikeout rate is already, he's already got 132 strikeouts on the year. He has been dominating so far. I mean, it's the second best ERA in the league. So I'm not really sure how he got left out. I really expect that to change, but that's really the only heartburn I had from the pitchers really in either league so far. How about you?
Yeah, that's a good one, and I've heard other people talk about that. In fact, his fellow hurler on the Rays, Chris Archer, basically criticized all his fellow players and said that you should have voted Blake Snell on because he's the most deserving guy, and he said it's some of those stats, and I think those are all really good. To me, it's about how someone else would have to be booted off. So who would you kick off? Maybe Jose Berrios and the Twins? But not Verlander, not Cole, not Bauer, not Severino, not Kluber, not Sale. I mean, that's a pretty fantastic lineup of starting pitchers that Snell would have to beat out.
It's a good point. And I was going to point out Verlander is going to start on Sunday, so I do expect a spot to open up.
I saw the same for Bauer, so it's very possible that Snell does get in. But I was going to actually point out another pitcher. So the pitcher I'm thinking of has pitched more innings than Blake Snell, has more strikeouts, has a better strikeout per nine, has less walks per nine, has basically allowed the same amount of home runs, just slightly higher home run per fly ball rate and home runs per nine, has a worse ERA, but the better stat, of course, is the FIP, has a better FIP and a better XFIP and a better WAR than Blake Snell. And this pitcher is one of only two pitchers to pitch a complete no hitter this season, and that's of course the Mariners, James Paxton. So I was surprised that he was shut out, and I think if I were the decider and I was choosing someone to replace Verlander or Bauer, who probably won't be able to play in the game, I would send Paxton over Snell. What about you?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Man, have we become closet Mariners fans this year.
I think my trip to Seattle saved me. Yeah, it converted me.
I'm all aboard the Safeco Field hype train. Watched. Man, I don't know what's happened to us. The other call that I'll give on the pitchers who I meant to bring up earlier, Charlie Morton. Not better stats than anyone on the roster, but he's had a fantastic season as well. So watch him jumping up to the big league club.
And just pivoting to the NL real quick for pitchers, the only thing I wanted to mention really is that John Lester, I feel like he's sort of getting in by the skin of his teeth. He was a player vote, as I understand it, and he's the 26th or 25th ranked qualified pitcher in WAR. He's had an okay season, but he's not had a brilliant season by any stretch. He's not really had an all-star season. His ERA is good, 2.45, but all the peripherals are bad. His FIP is bad. His XFIP is worse. His ground ball percentage is pretty low. Like he's not actually pitching the way we're used to John Lester pitching, but he got the nod and I'm happy for him. He's a class act. But I think there are more deserving pitchers than John Lester, but I'm not going to complain about that.
Reputation matters. It really does.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, 100%. I think that's all I have on MLB roster thoughts. I'll leave it at that, Pete.
Same. I'm interested to see who gets the NL final vote. I think there's some good candidates, but I'm interested to see how that one works out. I really am. I hope it's my boy Jesus Aguilar.
I think that'd be a good call.
So
anything
so
else?
Who you got? AL or NL on this one?
I'm gonna go AL. I just think that lineup is so formidable.
Are they playing with the DH in Washington? I don't know what the All-Star game rules are. I know it used to be whatever league they're at the home ballpark for, but are they playing?
Yeah,
with
I think. I think we need to do our homework there, because my understanding is that they are. I mean, they have a DH. It's JD Martinez. And my understanding is that they are playing with one, but the National League does not. So I was a little bit confused by that as well. I'm not sure exactly what the rules are. I mean, it's one of those minor rules that changes so frequently. It's hard to keep up with.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess we'll see. We'll do some research and get back to it on our next episode.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Well, thanks for jumping on to do a little All-Star Game Selection Show emergency pod with me.
Yeah, man, definitely. Any other thoughts on the All-Star Game before we sign off?
No, looking forward to it. Love the Home Run Derby. Let's do a fantasy Home Run Derby draft in the next couple days. Let's jump back on the horn and talk some smack and maybe do a little friendly wager over some frosty beers.
All right. That's a great idea. Okay. We'll be back then with that later this week. So thank you so much for listening to Third String Podcast. You can follow me at Zach Crippen or Pete at Pete_Laclede. You can follow our podcast at Third String Pod. Thanks so much for listening. Send us your questions, comments, concerns, gripes, complaints, all that stuff. We'll talk to you soon.